portion of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Essence Magazine, and this is actually the December and January edition. On the cover, we have former First Lady Michelle Obama, and this is where she opens up about her White House confessions, finding your Barack, living free, and we'll also get an exclusive book excerpt. And then some other things that we will go over in this edition is Winning Street, acclaimed thespian and singer Cynthia Erivo. This is where she discusses tackling the big screen. We'll also cover Breaking Bread, author Jacqueline Woodson, where she transformed her childhood yearning for a storybook holiday into joyful gatherings and loved ones. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's talk a letter from the CCCO. It's time to widen the perspective. As Black women, we are one global community. Not only do we hail from the United States and Africa, but we also thrive all around the world. As a citizen of this vibrantly inclusive collective, I'm excited to join Essence, a beloved and iconic brand with a talented editorial and creative team. Together, we look forward to building a more expansive platform for our voices. Black women are changing the narrative in fashion, beauty, the arts, entertainment, as well as politics, health, and the environment. So it is a great honor for me to start this journey with our forever First Lady, Michelle Obama, who's making history by gracing a magazine cover with her natural hair for the first time. In a revealing Essence exclusive, Mrs. Obama offers wisdom on finding true and lasting love while crafting a life that is courageous and free. Also in this issue, our hashtag BuyBlack gift guide offers more than 80 ideas for holiday presents you'll absolutely love. Spotlighting Black creatives, movers and shakers, artists and business owners is central to our mission, which is to discover all that is new and next for us and reflect that on pages filled with photography. We are bringing you top trends and vital information from and for Black women worldwide while generating rich opportunities for entrepreneurs with Essence, our digital shopping destination. Above all, Essence exists to uplift Black women, to inspire our daughters, sisters, and mothers, and to give us access to content that will empower and connect us all. Because no matter where we happen to call home, Essence serves Black women deeply. Mona Liu, Chief Content and Creative Officer. So let's move on to our first article, and it's going to come from Scenes. Once upon a time, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II worked in city planning. Then he got laid off. After regrouping, he switched gears and applied to the Yale School of Drama. Now, 3 years after graduating, he's suiting up as a Black Manta in all black with retractable arm blades and fire red eyes for Aquaman, which is in theaters as of December 21st. He even taught himself to swim. We'll circle back to that. Black Manta is beloved in the DC Comics world. Abdul-Mateen says of his character, he has a dry personality with the mean streak, but his story is real emotionally. Raised in West Oakland, California and New Orleans, the 32-year-old fesses up about his newfound swimming skills. I didn't want to show up like I have a confession. So I taught myself, he says with a laugh. But nobody's actually talking or fighting underwater. It's all blue screen. The film adaptation of Aquaman is the most recent addition to Abdul-Mateen's resume, which includes The Get Down, The Handmaid's Tale, and the campy beach comedy Baywatch. Currently, the actor is filming the HBO series Watchmen, which kicks off in the new year. He's also slated to star in the upcoming thriller Us. The latest from Get Out's writer-director Jordan Peele. It's turning out to be pretty cool, says Abdul-Mateen of his career shift. Indeed, it is. We're going to continue on with scenes, entertainment. Mr. Baldwin's Neighborhood. In the hands of director Barry Jenkins, If Beale Street Could Talk is a stirring lesson on the power of love. Each decade has its own iconic black love story. Paris Blues, which was in the 1960s, Mahogany, the 1970s, Purple Rain, the 1980s, Love Jones, the 1990s, and Disappearing Acts, the 2000s. If Beale Street Could Talk, which hits theaters as a limited release in New York City and Los Angeles on November the 30th, or it's already actually hit the theaters for them on November 30th, but nationwide it will be in January. It is an instant standard barrier for this period. Blessed with music by Nina Simone and Miles Davis. Standout performances from Regina King, Kiki Layne, and Stephan James. And all the stylistic flourishes that won Moonlight director Barry Jenkins his Oscar. Beale Street pays homage to its source material. James Baldwin's celebrated 1974 novel. The world is opening up about how our narratives can be framed. And I just love that, says Jenkins. Hopefully people will come to the cinema and see themselves, but through the prism that we've created a social romance drama, which I think is stylistically what the material demands. The studio knew it wasn't just going to be a translation of the novel, that it was going to have a style. The images need to be filtered to give it a different language. Baldwin's Harlem-based tale traces Tish Rivers, which is a brilliant newcomer named Lane, and Alonzo Fonny Hunt James, who played Olympian Jesse Owens in the biopic Race. From innocent childhood bubble baths together through lost virginity, apartment hunting, Fonny's wrongful conviction of rape, and the quest to free him from jail. The novel and film touch on the prison industrial complex, housing discrimination, domestic abuse, and the trauma inflicted by white supremacy. But the center of the story is love. What Barry has done with Mr. Baldwin's words is just phenomenal. The way he's created visual symphonies showing all the different intimacies and intricacies of love, says Emmy Award winner King, who turns in an amazing performance as Tish's mother, Sharon. So often we talk about love and we just think that's between a man and a woman, she says. But in this, you see the love story between sisters, a father, and daughter, and two older men. And you see how love has gotten them through life. It's just absolutely beautiful to me. The film also explores the brotherly bond between Fonny and Daniel Carty, Atlanta's Brian Tyree Henry, a friend who was recently released from jail after serving time for a wrongful conviction as well. Carty shows how an understanding ear can become a lifesaver. Though set in the early 70s, Beale Street offers a timeless statement about the black experience in America. Tish may not seem like Baldwin, reflects Lane. I think she's very aware, but she doesn't have Baldwin's gift for speaking up on things. It helped me to press more into what it means to have your love ripped away from you in a really unfair way. She's fighting to get her man out of jail. She is fighting for the love of her life, and that is the most important thing to me. The movie's haunting score, which features Black Power era jazz and soul, is a work of art itself. I just decided that I was going to let the emotion I felt making the film that the actors brought guide the music choices, Jenkins says. The result is that If Beale Street Could Talk feels heart-rending and tender, with a true-to-life narrative as familiar to the age of Black Lives Matter as it is to that of post-civil rights. Academy members, take note. Quote, the world is opening up about how our narratives can be framed, end quote. And that was by Barry Jenkins, which is the director for If Beale Street Could Talk, and it looks like it's going to be in theaters in January of 2019. And as of November 30th is when it they played in limited theaters in Los Angeles and in New York City. So we're going to continue staying on with Scene's documentary, No Justice, No Peace. Two Academy Award-nominated directors take another look at Sandra Bland's death in a thoughtful new doc. On July 13, 2015, the unthinkable happened to the family of Sandra Bland, a 28-year-old who was bright, beautiful, outspoken, bold, caring, loving, and intelligent individual, says her sister, Shantae Needham. 3 days after being arrested during a routine traffic stop, Bland was found hanging in a jail cell in Waller County, Texas. She had been pulled over by a state trooper, Brian Essenia, who told her it was because she had failed to signal a lane change. Later, dash cam footage would reveal Essenia asking Bland to put out her cigarette. When she declined, he grew irate, demanded that she get out of her vehicle, and then threatened to drag her out and use his stun gun. When she finally did exit her car, he proceeded to take her into custody in a rough manner. She ended up on the ground in the process. Bland was charged with assaulting a public servant and placed in a cell that, unlike others, didn't have video cameras. She made several phone calls from jail to family members and friends to help secure her bail. Days later, Bland was dead. Her cause of death was ruled a suicide. Protests erupted across the country. The name Sandra Bland became a hashtag, and hashtag Say Her Name, which was created in May 2015 by the African American Policy Forum, dominated social media. People wanted the truth. 3 years later, her family still hasn't received answers or the apology they say they deserve. They hope that the HBO documentary, Say Her Name, The Life and Death of Sandra Bland, which is out December 3rd, will shed some light on 72 hours Bland spent in custody. Her family granted access to acclaimed filmmakers Kate Davis and David Helbronner just 10 days after Bland's death. Together with the assistance of the family's legal team, they have uncovered several inconsistencies, such as a forged log sheet and the fact that neither Bland's fingerprints nor her DNA were found on the noose she allegedly used to kill herself. There is an underlying mysterious tone around what actually happened to Sandy, says Sharon Cooper, another one of Bland's four sisters. That's why I think our healing process is imbalanced compared with when you lose someone to a health condition and you have a definitive understanding of what happened to your loved one. We never really felt like we walked away with that. I want the world to never forget Sandra Bland, and I want the world to know we have to speak out against what's not right. And again, that is airing actually today, December 3rd, on HBO. Continuing on with Scenes, we have the Essence Picks, and this is where the perfect presents, thinking of gifting a book this holiday season. Team Essence offers some choice reads of 2018 for you to consider. Galise Harrison, her book is called Client Solutions Manager, Festival, Why I Love This Book. So when we reflect on our lives, we realize that hindsight is 20/20. The Essence team, they said that they enjoyed reading Note to Self, which is by Gail King, because it reminds them that even when life doesn't go as planned, we can learn valuable lessons every step of the way. Gina Johnson, senior editorial video producer, she loves this book called Training School for Negro Girls. It's priced at $17.95, and it's an equal parts funny, poignant, stirring, and heartbreaking. Penned by a fellow Washington, D.C. native and Howard University alum. This book is a collective coming-of-age story, and it's about time. The variety of the characters and experiences makes Training School required reading for your favorite black girl. Tracy Woods, which is the Essence photo editor, she loves this book, hashtag 1960 Now, by Sheila Pree Bright. It's priced at $30, and it's a visually arresting coffee table tome filled with activism photography shot across the U.S. from Ferguson, Missouri, to Atlanta, to Philadelphia. Although the pics are current, they movingly evoke the spirit of the 60s. Corey Murray, and she is the Essence Entertainment Director, and there's this book that she loves. She says that earlier this year, she met the acclaimed writer Roxane Gay at a movie premiere. After she told her how much of a fan she was with her work and her 2014 novel set in Haiti, an untamed state, she shared that she would be re-releasing her debut short story collection, Ayiti. It's what the name of the book is called, and it's priced at $16. Through textured tales from the Haitian diaspora, Gay immerses readers in a rich and beautiful culture. Julie Wilson, she's Essence Fashion and Beauty Director, and she loves this book by Lorna Simpson Colleges. It's priced at $29.95. It celebrates black beauty. Simpson remixes iconic photos for African-American publications and turns them into masterpieces. Rona Richards, she's Essence Editorial Business Manager, and she loves this book called Unhinged by Omarosa. So the tea was so hot that she couldn't stop sipping. Every chapter left her anticipating the next. It's a scary and shocking insider's view of Trump's White House. And it looks like that book is priced at $28. So those were some of their picks, you know, that you can purchase for gifts for the holiday seasons, for the upcoming holiday season. So moving on to issues, 10 things we're talking about. Number one, black artists matter. So in the world of contemporary art, Los Angeles' own Betty Saar is a legend. The now 92-year-old artist was first emerged in the 1960s with experimental works that explored political themes. It's front and center in the Getty Research Institute's new African-American Art History Initiative. In the first big achievement under the program, more than a half century of Saar's creations and personal memorabilia have been acquired with the goal of examining the role African-American artists have played in our nation's story. Leaders of the project, for which the Getty is allocating $5 million in funding to start, also see the acquisition as a way to bring recognition to an area of American art that has long been underfunded and under-researched. Number two of the trending topics that we're talking about is prioritizing moms. Global healthcare company Merck is on a mission to save lives. As part of its $500 million Merck for Mothers Worldwide initiative, the medicine and vaccine producer has launched the Safer Childbirth Cities program. The measure commits on an additional $10 million to locations across the U.S. with high maternal fatalities, with the aim to improve health outcomes for childbearing women. Number three, see Ghana. The West African nation, known for its breathtaking coast and brightly colored kente, is looking to lure African Americans to the homeland. Year of Return, Ghana 2019 is a new campaign from the Tourism Board that marks 400 years since the arrival of the first slave ships in the Americas and encourages those in the diaspora to embrace the country as a prominent vacation and business destination. Number four, moving forward. It's a new day in Atlanta with Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms at the helm. In a bold move, Bottoms signed legislation to rename three city streets with Confederate in their titles. The push for the change was spurred by residents who lived along the designated roadways. The city will host a special ceremony during the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday to commemorate this step forward. Number five, a catch-22. A recent study titled Racial Disparities in Student Debt and the Reproduction of the Fragile Black Middle Class, published by the journal Sociology of Race and Ethnicity, found that young black adults take on 85% more educational debt than their white counterparts. Over time, this disparity further compounds the black-white debt ratio. Number six, to know that an elected official and as a person of prominence that I couldn't even find the protection and the justice that my family deserves so that we can have a sense of peace, that the system was not there in the ways that we needed, that is stunning. And that was a quote from Rep. Rakia Kia Morris. She's a Democrat in Bennington, on deciding to end her reelection campaign for the Vermont legislature after violent threats. Number seven, protect yourself. A newly released iOS 12 shortcut named Police allows iPhone users to record interactions with law enforcement using Siri. During a stop, a voice command prompts the phone to text your location to a preset emergency contact and to turn on the video recording feature. After the stop, the shortcut will send the video clip to your trusted contact. Number eight, rightful reform. California's criminal justice system is receiving a much-needed overhaul. Starting January 1st, legislation enacted by Governor Jerry Brown goes into effect to help bring a fairer judicial process to the Golden State. That includes elimination of the state's cash bail system and prohibiting the practice of trying 14 and 15 year olds as adults, among other changes. Number nine, rising CEO. Lexi Proctor is making waves in the natural hair care business. The enterprising 13 year old teamed up with her mother, Monica, to create Curlinista, a line of products that keep curly girls in mind. In September, the company took top honors at the Sally Beauty Cultivate program. The prize included $25,000 in financial support, product distribution, and mentorship. Number 10, We Were Here. Thanks to the efforts of Tina Burnside and the Coventry Cowans, Minnesota has an African American Heritage Museum and Gallery. Located in the Twin Cities, the space is dedicated to the contributions of black people in the region. Through February, the museum will pay tribute to them with the exhibit Unbreakable, celebrating the resilience of African Americans in Minnesota. So again, that was 10 trending topics that we are talking about. Next, we're going to move on to, let's see, money and power. My favorite, this is my favorite section, actually. Path to Power, How to Raise a Million. Christina Jones, co-founder of Court Buddy, a service that matches clients with lawyers, shares how she and her husband sold a winning idea. When we first came up with the ideas of Court Buddy, my husband James and I were both working full time. James was also a solo attorney with his own law practice, and I was working in advertising. James had noticed that whenever he went to court, people would approach him minutes before they were due in front of a judge and ask him to review their paperwork. After seeing this day after day, he started asking why they didn't have a counsel. Many said they didn't know where to look. Others didn't have money for a retainer. We did some research and discovered that an overwhelmingly number of Americans attend court alone. Yet when we reached out to some of James's colleagues, we learned that many of them were having trouble finding clients on their end. We realized that nobody had created a widespread option for people to obtain a la carte legal services. We took that idea, and in 2015, CourtBuddy.com was born. When we started, we knew nothing about fundraising. We were approached by potential investors in early 2016. But they were first-timers, and we were first-time entrepreneurs, so we passed. When we walked into a pitch meeting, the very first question out of an advertiser's mouth was, "Who would pay for this?" It left such a bad taste that we vowed to just bootstrap Court Buddy forever. Then we won a competition through Evolve Entrepreneurship, formerly known as the American Entrepreneurship Award. From that experience, we learned about 500 startups, a business accelerator in San Francisco. 500 startups taught us how to fundraise properly, and they also introduced us to investors. Before participating in the program, I would ramble on about our company, but that's not what investors want to hear. They have specific metrics. They're listening and looking for signal if a venture is a good investment. Learning those key signals helped us hit the right notes when telling people about Court Buddy. Building a business with my husband, especially one that was so sorely needed, has been rewarding. We have different strengths, so we complement each other and make a strong team. It's hard sometimes not to talk shop around our three-year-old daughter, but after work, we focus on giving her our full attention. Perhaps the best startup advice is to find a partner you enjoy being around, because they will help make the success of your venture a lot easier. And we run out of time, so I'm going to stop there, because we run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. So be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it, and I'm Nicole Hunter reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, www.trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. So long until next time.